Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, and Luke. When I get to John, it's like John gets it. He gets the story behind the story. To me, right? That's where we find the I am statements. Mm-hmm. We're all in John. There's seven. He's... I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the door. The bread of life. Right? I mean.
So it's one of the things I spent several years in that thought. You know, Lord, let me be the one who's got my ear to your chest and hear your heartbeat. And at that time, I was really striving to hear Jesus' heart.
Yeah.
His heart still speaks, right? His heart still speaks by the Holy Spirit. It still speaks in situations, still speaks. Like this morning, I'm wrapping my arms around you. I'm so glad to be here.
When we were talking to this man on Friday, Eric, you know, Eric's doing the bulk of it. And I was just gleaning, what's going on over here, you know? but it was sort of a, you know, why does he hide himself? Why does he, are there mysteries? But as you start unpacking this, then you realize that getting to know him requires a connection, a presence, a laying your heart on his chest kind of moments that, you know, I can get here, but until you step, you know, head on the chest moments and... or you can start really getting into them. So it just takes that. Well, I went to, I think it's short. We'll see what happens. I'm layering still, you know, the rolling sermon.
What layer are we on today?
Well, so, and I think I think we're getting set up for part three, I think.
We're going to schedule today.
I think we are, because every time I say something, you say something like that, and you're like, oh yeah, that's what I was thinking, you know? And so like a couple weeks ago, I told you, we see what we expect to see. Or to put it another way, I was saying, what you believe determines what you see, right? And I think I had shared with you, you know, if you look at the Bible as just a bunch of rules, then that you have to keep to please the Lord, then guess what you're going to probably find when you read the Bible? A bunch of rules, right? If you believe you need to work hard to avoid this or that to please God, you're probably going to find a bunch of tasks in there that I need to do to, and you're probably going to say, you're going to see the demon in every bush kind of thing, right? Sins around every corner. And, oh my God, oh my God. And because what's happening? Our beliefs are filtering what we see, right? If you expect to see Jesus on every page, you expect to see Jesus in every song, you expect to see Jesus, I don't care. Pick a movie. Pick any movie. You see Jesus, you'll find Jesus. He's in the brokenness. He's in broken people. He's everywhere. You may not like how people are telling the story, but, you know, you're like, half the time I watch these Hollywood shows, and you're like, ugh, they need Jesus. Yeah, but I believe you see Jesus. If you're looking, you see him everywhere. You see him in the sunsets. You see him in the flowers. You see him in the rafters with falling insulation. Same. I'm not being goofy. I'm just like, true, right? So we believe. How we believe determines what we see. That's why that believing part is so important. Yay, first deep backline. Okay. Then in last week, we layered on top of it. And I talked about expectancy versus expectation. Okay. Remember I told you this thing that again, another workplace-ism. When I was away at a leadership training thing about the root cause of all conflict is the violation of expectations, I told you. root cause of all conflict. Violation of expectations, right? And we walk through, hey, there's a big difference between expectancy and expectation, right? Because expectation says, I'm going to hold my own thoughts, my own ideas, my own timeline, my own plans, right? And in that whole story, God's not in it. I told you, I said, it's really a... It's a need for control. I'm trying to manage my life, but this is what I need to happen around me. And you could say it reveals places in our life where we're just failing to trust God. Because our demand that my expectations be met become like my main focus. That's the thing that drives my day. Am I happier man today? Do I like you today? It's like, well, are you satisfying my expectations of you? And so it consumes a lot of our time. We don't even know it. It's just subliminal, yeah, I guess. But it just gets headspace. That person makes me so mad.
It keeps subverting my intentions.
Hey, this thing about expectations, it's like, that can't be the king. Because that's a stable.
Wait, she's a virgin.
All right.
Can't be. Hey, they were looking for the Messiah. Can't be.
You already got your
inheritance. Can't be a king. Kings don't come out of horse troughs. Right. Right? They missed him. Expectations. You live in expectation land. You miss it.
Interesting that the wise men found him. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'd been a year or two later, but they found him.
I would tell you, that was born out of expectancy.
They didn't know what to expect.
They didn't have an answer. I have no idea. Expectation. I have an idea. It needs to look like this.
Right. Right.
And you didn't. Mm-hmm. And you didn't do it. Therefore, better than you. Uh-huh. Right? So when you live out of expectation, what happens? Disappointment. Frustration, sadness,
anger.
No kidding, right? Confusion, stress, anxiety, cynicism. Those people, right? And it's a big list. Okay? Where expectancy, right? This is just summarizing last week since you guys weren't here. Expectancy is like, my expectations don't have definitions. They don't have timelines. My expectations don't have demands on them. Do you see it? It's like this perspective switch. That expectancy, it's like all of a sudden, my conclusions, my predefined conclusions, all of a sudden just got set at the cross. Right? We get mad at God because he didn't heal this or that. You didn't this, you didn't that. The other one is like, God, I don't know, but I trust you. So we need to learn to, how do I walk in expectancy versus expectation? One says I demand this outcome, a certain outcome. And the other one, it's like, there's a joy that comes, there's peace, there's a weight off your shoulders when it's like, it's in God's hands. And the focus is really, I'm just going to take the next step. That's all I can do. It's like, I'm just going to take the next step. And I would argue, if you wanted to look about what is faith, it's just taking the next step. Right?
Yes.
It's just taking the next step. And so with that in mind as the backdrop, more layering, the tomb. Right? There's this encounter at the tomb with the Marys. Okay. when they, and I, so I'll read it out of the Passion Translation. Matthew 28, and I'm just going to look at verses 1 through 7. After the Sabbath ended, at the first light of dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to take a look at the tomb. Suddenly, there's a sermon there. Suddenly, the earth shook violently beneath their feet. Wow. As the angel of the Yahweh.
Huh. Really?
Descended from heaven. Passion Translation. The angel of the Yahweh.
That's so good.
This sounds cool.
Lightning flashed around him, and his robe was dazzling white. The guards were stunned and terrified, lying motionless like dead men.
Probably what they were thinking. We're dead men.
Mm-hmm.
It's clearly awesome, right?
Right.
It's clearly awesome. Okay. Then the angel walked up to the tomb. I think there's a sermon there. Walked up to the tomb and rolled away the stone and sat on top of it.
There's another sermon.
There's another sermon. Come on! Walked up. Come on! Isn't that just the greatest? Okay. The women were breathless and terrified. Until the angel said to them, "There's no reason to be afraid. I know you're here looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen victoriously." Bold face underline, just as he said. I'll read it again. There's no reason to be afraid. I know you're here looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen victoriously, just as he said. Just as he said. Come inside the tomb and see the place where our Lord was lying. Then run and tell the disciples, his disciples, that he has risen from the dead. I give you his message. I'm going ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see me there. Yeah, I mean, all right. There's a year of sermons right here, right? You've got these two women who are in such a state of grief. Massive disappointment, right? And then all of a sudden, I think it probably has like linkages back to the explosion of angels on the hillside over the shepherds. The same kind of right? Same moment. It's one of these, it's one of those moments, right? If you were to make a list, okay, this was really good news in my life. Let's talk about worldwide good news or your world, your nation. I don't know. I mean, ponder it just for a second. You might, you know, my life, I was born in 65, you've been earlier, so, you know, I've ever gone to see the Martin Luther King Memorial in D.C., you could say, oh, somewhere like that, that was huge, that was a big good news moment, you could have said that. Remember the tear down that wall, right? Mm-hmm. You probably mm-hmm. sat on TV and you witnessed that, right? Mm-hmm. And you could, I mean, even when I started work, and then the Cold War was still, mm-hmm. all our work was the, you know, Russia scenarios and Russia this and Russia that, and, right? So you could have said, hey, I grew up in I saw the end of the Cold War. Maybe you look at things like the Middle East. 9/11, you're like, oh, that's horrific, and all of a sudden they get Osama. You're like, you go, good news, right?
I was only, I don't know how old, and I went out with a big shovel. And I dug my own a hole that I could go and hide in for when the Russians attacked.
My goodness.
It must have been five.
That's cute. So sad, right?
I mean, there's, there we go. Here's a race woman. Civil rights era. Or it's changed. I said, communism. Look what happened. Osama, Middle East terrorism, huh? Let's flash to now. Right? And I turn on the news. And all those great, helpful events make me go, because I've got, I don't know what you call them, race hustlers, right? there's no progress on racial discrimination. It's worse than it's ever been. And I just don't know. You would think that we've made zero progress.
Actually, we went backwards.
And, oh, yes, it's worse than it's ever been. I'm thinking, and I thought again. Okay, I don't see it that way, but this big hopeful moment that we had, I said, yeah! Well, okay, maybe not. And the Cold War! And you go, communism's dead, right? And then you go turn on the news, and I look at all our elite campuses in the U.S. and go, I look like a bunch of communist socialists braiding around there. Wait a minute. My hopeful moment of change. And turn Middle East is all fixed, right? So it's like, wait, wait, I thought we got Osama, and now we still got that Afghanistan mess and Taliban, and it's like, oh, I still have to wear a mask, I guess, here and there. Right? I had this, so what was it? What happened here? It's like, I had this great hope that this really good thing happened, and all of a sudden, maybe it didn't happen, and the news tells me for sure it didn't happen, and you're bad for thinking it did happen, and my head's going, spinning, and I've got all this toxic stuff happening in my head now. Because I don't know about my good, where are my goodness stories, right? I would say it's exhausting. My heart is exhausted. My heart is weary. I'm looking for my good news story to hang my hat on. He isn't here. He has risen victoriously, just as He said. Jesus did exactly as He said He would do. Spin the news any way you want. Pick your flavor on social media or other. The Mary's found out. You can count on this. What did I tell you? He said, I read that scripture out of Hebrews this morning. It's an anchor, right? It's an anchor. Believing in it's an anchor, right? That we draw our hope from. The anchor of His word, the anchor of His promise. Right? The good news as His disciples were about to find out. It just keeps getting better. And better.
That declaration of the angel, just as He said, is in the midst of everything has gone wrong.
Everything's gone wrong.
Everything's a disaster. It's falling apart. Nothing is what we thought or wanted or hoped for or prayed or believed. It's a disaster in the middle of that.
Yeah. So we sit here and we're looking for anchor. We look for anchors. We look for stability. We all do. And go ahead.
But in the midst of all that, you started off with how do we, which perception do we have? And everything that they were seeing that we call back as failure, they were in the midst of failures. It wasn't, it was success.
Right.
They were calling success failure. Jesus had to die. He had to rise again. He had to fulfill his, everything that was there was success.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what I read in, to have light, you have to have burning.
Right.
You have to go through this to get to this. It wasn't bad, it was just not what we expected, which doesn't make it bad.
Right.
Because we are not God. We can't make that kind of judgment.
And
we are always making that kind of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing about when I say the good news getting better and better, because what's happening, it's like the more I get him, the more he revealed himself to me. So now it's, and I've been thinking this earlier, but it's like the more I put my head on his chest moments, the more I encounter him, the more his presence impacts me. It's like more and more, it's like, I'm like, oh yeah, it is an anchor. Oh yeah, it is my hope. Oh yeah, this is my lifeline. and it's an unshakable hope, right? We're learning to like shift over to this unshakable hope. This, right? It is, it's just this. Just thinking a picture of these like Titanic anchors. Oh, an anchor, right? So Hebrews 6, verse 18 through 20, and the passion, unshakable hope. So it's impossible for God to lie. Just as he said, it's impossible for God to lie. For we know that his promise and his vow will never change. And now we have run into his heart to hide ourselves in this fullness. There you are, laying your head on his chest. And now we have run into his heart to hide ourselves in his faithfulness. This is where we find his strength and comfort. For he empowers us to seize what has already been established ahead of time. An unshakable hope. What we have this certain hope, like a strong, unbreakable anchor, holding our souls to God himself. Our anchor of hope is fastened to the mercy seat in the heavenly realm beyond the sacred threshold. Verse 20, where Jesus, our forerunner, has gone in before us. He is now and forever our royal priest, like Melchizedek. When your hope is anchored here, nothing that happens in this life, good or bad, can shake you. This is the one thing, doesn't sound like the right word. This is the one thing, right, in this world that we can count on. Many other things are going to disappoint you. People, they're going to disappoint you. They're going to exhaust you. Many things will weary you, anger you, disappoint you. But we have this unshakable hope living inside of us. Right? So not only was the tomb empty and Jesus raised from the dead and ascended to heaven, Scripture says, but we were raised and ascended with him. We are right now seated with him in heavenly places in him. That's like good news. Ephesians says it this. I love the Passion Translation. Ephesians 2:6. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. But we are now co-seated as one with Christ. So here you go. Whatever happens in this life, it's not better than this. Right? So here's the thing, back to expectations in this world. Civil rights, communism, politics, Middle East mess, vaccines, pick your poison, gender, baby. In this world, things rarely live up to expectations. Jesus always delivers. Jesus always delivers, just as he said. Verse 6, Matthew 28, verse 6, just as he said, right? He did just what he said on that morning, on that resurrection morning. But he does far better than our expectations could ever even dream of. This was a verse we read last week. He does more than we could ever even imagine. It's like, I got you there. I'm going to up you. He does far better than our expectations. Blowing our minds beyond our wildest imagination. So I'll close with that verse in Ephesians 3:20. Out of the Passion translations. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you.
Amen.
Amen. So with that, I wanna when we started this morning, it's like, why are our beliefs so important? Yeah, right? With our thoughts turn into our beliefs.
Right.
And our beliefs, right? We shift into our actions. He tells us, abide in these things. Know me, and then live abundantly, powerfully, right? So I just pray for our thoughts this morning. So God, pour into our thought life. Wherever you find yourself, if you're struggling in your thought life this morning, or maybe you're feeling, I don't have a thought life, I'm not even pondering. We just invite Holy Spirit to pour gas on, to do awe-inspiring moments in our thought life. God, I just pray that even as we shared scripture this morning, just as you said you did, God, that our thoughts just begin to move in that place, God. We just consider the anchor that you are. We anchor our hope around you. God, and it just begins this week to establish new beliefs in our lives this week. God, we just find ourselves this week celebrating changed minds, transformed minds. God, we enjoy the transformation of our mind this morning. But God, you rock our world as it shifts into just living from that place. God, so we invite you into the next step of our faith this week. God, we just say, come, and we want to encounter you at Starbucks this week. God, we pray for an encounter at Walmart.
Yes.
God, maybe you're in the workplace, folks, this week on base or something. So God, I pray for a moment, an encounter at your workplace. that God creates a time, a space and time with a person that you have a divine answer for. You have a God, all of a sudden, just like this morning in worship, I've got a word. I pray that you've got a word for that person. That just, and maybe we just believe it's a key for them, a key for their healing,
yes,
a key for their deliverance,
yes,
God, a key for their salvation, God, a key for restoring hope, God, a key for healing marriages. So God, we just pray for encounters this week where the power of Jesus inside of us that is doing amazing things beyond our imagination or expectation comes, God, and that when you come, abundant life happens, God. So we just say, come, bring abundant life this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.